Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Joshua chapter 2 this morning. We're once again continuing our series titled Journey Through Joshua, a series that's obviously taking us through the book of Joshua from the Old Testament. And some of you may be thinking, didn't we go through Joshua 2 last week? Didn't we specifically read from the beginning to the end? And you said we're going to knock out all of Joshua 2 right here this week. And the answer is yes. Yes, I did say that. And yes, we did do Joshua 2 last week. And to be honest, I had every intention of moving into chapter 3 this week, all the way up until Wednesday. Well, actually, it was Thursday when things changed. But it all started when my wife began the process of changing my mind. And by my wife, I mean God through my wife. I believe undoubtedly God spoke through her this week. I found oftentimes that God speaks through my wife. Sometimes I'm too stubborn to listen, or it takes me a little longer to realize that. But it started after service last week. And I asked my wife, you know, what she thought of the message. And honestly, I was hoping for, you know, some of the praise, you know, some of the pat on the back, you know, oh, great message, honey. That was awesome. You know, that's kind of, I mean, I'm human, okay? I was expecting a little bit of the pats on the back and those kind of things. But instead of the pat on the back, now she says, well, I said it was a good message, you know, but instead of the pat on the back, she started with a question. And that's never good, right? She said, well, are you done with chapter 2? You covered things from the perspective of the spies, but what about from the perspective of Rahab? You didn't come from Rahab's perspective. And now I have to admit, I was a little put off by her response at first, and probably because I didn't get the pat on the back that I wanted, right? Because I didn't get the praise that I was expecting from her. But also because I thought, you're questioning the way I'm feeling led to walk through Joshua, to walk through, you know, you're questioning me here. You know, those are the thoughts that are going through my head. And so then I responded by saying, well, okay, do you want to speak about Rahab's perspective? And of course she said no. And so then my response was, all right, well, we're moving on to chapter 3. And we left it at that. And then I was working on my message, and it was actually Thursday morning. And I just kept hearing this voice, my wife's voice, say, what about Rahab? And I realized that it wasn't my wife's voice. I realized that it was the Holy Spirit saying, what about Rahab? What about this perspective that you're missing out as you're walking through this chapter? And so this morning I am swallowing my pride, and I'm going back to chapter 2 to look at things from Rahab's perspective. And let me just say this. I'm going to throw this out here. This is a good reminder that sometimes God will speak to us through our spouses, okay? We don't always like to listen, and we don't always believe that God could speak through our spouses at times, but sometimes God will speak to us through our spouses, and we should always be open to their comments and perspectives. And in other words, don't be stubborn like I am, all right? But here's the cool thing. God still uses me even though I'm flawed, and which is exactly what we see here as we look at the life of Rahab, the Lord using someone who is flawed. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here this morning in Joshua chapter 2. Left my Bible on my seat. Joshua chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 21 this morning, and then we're going to kind of break it down and talk about it. It says this, it says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from that place I refuse to say. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. And if you weren't here last week, I'm afraid to cuss. That's why I skip over that city. Verse 2. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the persuaders had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, This oath you made us swear will not be binding on you unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brother, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, as I looked at this chapter again, looking at it from a different perspective, looking at it from the perspective of Rahab, there were a couple things that stood out to me that I want to share with you this morning. I shared with you last week that these two spies were on a mission, right? A recon mission to gather information for their leader and for their country, right? About the cities that they would be battling against. But as I took time to focus on Rahab in this story, it brought some questions to mind. Like, what was the real purpose of this reconnaissance mission? These spies were sent on a mission, a reconnaissance mission. What was the purpose of this mission? Now, some of you are aware that I was a Marine years ago. Some of you may not be aware that I was actually in recon. I was part of 3rd Recon Battalion, Delta Company in Okinawa, Japan. And as a recon Marine, we were trained for reconnaissance missions. We were trained to go and to gather information and intelligence and to bring it back to our command. But there was always a main purpose of why we were going, that we were going to achieve specific information. We were going there for a purpose, looking for something, trying to find something out. And so the question here is, what were these spies really going here for? What were they looking for? Now, we know that Jericho was the main city they were going to, because Joshua even says in verse 1, go look over the land, especially Jericho. So it was very specific that Jericho was one of the main places they were being sent. Why? Why was it that they were sent to Jericho? Were they there to see how thick or strong these walls were? Now, I don't think that seems very likely, because they didn't even know themselves that God was going to cause the walls to crumble, that he was going to knock down the walls. Well, did they go to determine maybe what kind of weapons that they had, to see what kind of weapons that they would need to defeat them? And this may be the perspective that the spies actually maybe went over there with, but when you look from the perspective of God, it doesn't seem very likely, because they didn't end up using weapons anyways. We're going to get into the Battle of Jericho later, but if you know the Battle of Jericho, they just marched around and blew their trumpets, right? There were no weapons involved. They didn't use their weapons. Maybe as they rushed in, but they didn't know what kind of weapons. Did they go to find the best way to try to enter the city? Again, this may have been what the spies were scoping out. But from a perspective of God sending these spies, we know that God already knew how he was going to take this city. The reality is God didn't need any of this information that the spies may have gathered to defeat Jericho. And so the more and more I look at this story, the more and more I'm determined that Rahab was the mission. Rahab was the mission. These spies may not have known that. I'm sure in their minds they were looking for all kinds of information and intelligence that they could bring back to Joshua and the army. But I believe that those spies, unbeknownst to themselves, were sent to Jericho for one purpose and one purpose only: to rescue a prostitute named Rahab. I believe that this mission was all about a life that God believed was worth saving. A life that was worth saving. But why? Why? Why Rahab? A prostitute? A Gentile sinner? Why would God save this woman? Why would he want to save a sinner like Rahab? I think we find the answers to this in verses 9 through 11. I want to just read them to you again real quickly. This is Rahab talking. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on the earth below." When you hear those words, you realize that even though Rahab was a Gentile sinner in the city of Jericho, she was a woman who believed in God, who believed in the God of Israel. And the crazy thing here is, as you read through this, these things that Rahab talks about, she never saw any of these things for herself. She never saw the waters part. She never saw them defeat these kings. And the thing is, some of these things happened 40 years ago. She's referencing things that it wasn't just stuff that just happened. These were things that happened 40 years ago. But she heard the stories, and she believed in the God of Israel. And she knew that he was her only hope for being saved, right? Because in Jericho there, she could have easily turned them in and been, you know, the hero, right? She could have been awarded all these great things, but she knew, God's coming. I'd rather be on his side. Because even if I do get to be the hero, before we know it, Israel is going to come and wipe us all out. And so she knew that God, the God of Israel, was her only hope of being saved. And I would believe it was because of that that God planned this mission specifically for her. Now some might say, why just her? Why not others there in the city of Jericho? And because of what I know and believe about God, a God who desires that none should perish, right? He even says that in his scripture. He came to this earth hoping that none should perish. Because of what I believe it was because God knew, out of all the people in Jericho, she was the only one that truly believed in the God of Israel. The reality is, all of them, they'd heard the story. All of them had heard these stories that she talked about. And I believe if there were more that believed in God, he would have made a way to save them as well. But she was the only one. And the amazing thing to me about that as I read this story is the realization that our God is a God who's willing to go out of his way for just one. He's willing to send spies on a mission to go out of their way, to risk their lives for one. It's like we read in Luke and in Matthew about the sheep, the shepherd, right? Leave the 99 for what? The one. To save the one. And I believe that the same is true today. You see, Jesus himself came to this earth on a mission. A mission very similar to what we see here in Joshua chapter 2. A mission to save the sinners like Rahab. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to save people like me and you, sinners who have fallen. And I believe that if you or if I, if one of us were the only ones on this earth, if we're the only ones on this earth that really believed in God, I believe he would have still come and died on the cross, even if it was just for one of us. Because he loves us and believes that regardless of what our failures and regardless of what our sins are, our lives are still worthy of being saved. And as we look at the story of Rahab, we're reminded that she wasn't just saved from death and destruction, right? I mean, she was saved from death and destruction as Jericho was demolished, we'll see later. But she wasn't just saved from death and destruction. She was also saved for a purpose. God brought her out of this life of sin and used her for his glory. You see, the amazing thing about Rahab was that she didn't let her past determine who God was calling her to be. It's so easy for us to live in the failures of our past. It's so easy for us to struggle with who we used to be. Oftentimes we allow our past to define us, and we fail to reach the potential that God has for us because we let who we used to be define who we are. Years ago, I was in a church, and when I first got there, I had a woman come introduce herself to me. She told me her name, but then she quickly told me she was the one who had a child out of wedlock. Now, I found out this was like 8 years before this, and she still introduced herself to me as the one who had a child out of wedlock, as if she was wearing this as a title. That was her title. I am this person, you know, Rahab the prostitute, so-and-so, the woman who had a child out of wedlock. Now, the pastor was fairly new, and when he realized that she continued to do this, he finally pulled her aside and said, you gotta stop doing that. You got to stop this. He said, yes, that may be true. You had a child out of wedlock, but that's not who you are. You're a child of the King, and you are saved by grace. You're a new creation in Christ, and it's time for you to put the past behind you and begin to live the new life that God has called you to live. From then on, she never put that title behind her name. And I can tell you today that that woman is amazing, an amazing woman of God. Her and her husband pastor a church now together. And she's an amazing light that shines bright for the Lord. And over the years, she's helped many women who've had children out of wedlock, many single moms. She has helped and come alongside them. And she hasn't let her past define who God has called her to be. As a matter of fact, she's turned that scripture, God takes all things, or makes, or God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to her purpose. Yeah, she failed, but she's used her failures now to help other women who go through those same struggles. She didn't let her past define who God was calling her to be. And Rahab could have just been remembered as the prostitute. Now, we still see that title in the scriptures, Rahab the prostitute, but I believe it's because God wants us to see His grace and His mercy. Because she didn't let her past define who God called her to be. Because in reality, as you look through the scriptures, Rahab was no longer a prostitute. Rahab was the father of Boaz. The mother, excuse me. Yeah, she's a woman. That would be hard. I meant to say that. See, my wife, I got to listen to her. She keeps me in line. You got to sit up here more often. She was the mother of Boaz. And the great, 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 29 greats. I'm not going to do them all. The 29th great grandmother of Jesus, the Messiah. She's considered a woman of faith. Hebrews 11, you may know the scripture in Hebrews 11. It's known as the Hall of Faith. As a matter of fact, a while ago, I don't remember when it was, we walked through a series called Faith Is, and we walked through some of Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 talks about all these amazing men of faith, and in there, there's a couple women. And one of those women is Rahab. In verse 31 of Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." She was considered a woman of faith. And in James, you also see it talks about, in the words, talks about Abraham, and then it says she was considered righteous because of her faith. Here she is, a prostitute, a Gentile sinner, and she's mentioned with the likes of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, right, Joseph, all these people. And God talks about Rahab and the amazing woman of faith. Why? Because her faith was based on who God is and not who she was. Based on who God is and not who she was. She didn't let her past define who God had called her to be. What about us? What about us? What defines who we are? Is our faith based on who God is or who we were? Or who we are even at the moment? Jesus came to this earth on a rescue mission to save each and every one of us in this room, to save all of us. But not just to save us from something, but to save us for something. He's calling us to leave our past behind, to shed the titles that the world has given us, or maybe even sometimes we give ourselves. To shed those titles and to become who He has called us to be, which is a new creation in Christ. A life with a hope and a future, right? This prostitute, this Gentile sinner became a part of the lineage of the Messiah. That the Lord would use someone like this to be a part of His family. That's encouraging to me. What's His plan for your life? How is He going to use you to impact the world around you, to change the world around you? It starts by putting our faith and trust in who God is and not in who we once were. Some of you may recognize these lyrics. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I was a wretch. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's allow God to open up our eyes and to see the opportunities that He has for each and every one of us to be world changers. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. We're going to finish with a song this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. It's a word that I almost missed, Lord. Thank you for my wife and her wisdom and challenging me, Lord, to speak it, to really look at this chapter from a different perspective, from the perspective of Rahab, this woman who was hopeless. I don't know why she began to do the things that she did, Lord, the struggles that she went through. But Lord, she knew she needed a Savior. She knew she was on a road to destruction, and she cried out to you. And Lord, you saved her. And the reality is, you're just waiting for each of us to cry out, because you're ready to come on a mission to save each and every one of us, Lord, to rescue us out of whatever struggles, whatever failures we found ourselves in, Lord. Now, Lord, I know it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, magically, we jump out and we live happily ever after. Lord, I know the reality is, as often as we give our life to you, things can get tougher. But, Lord, there's something powerful about having you go before us. Because so often in this world, we're trying to push our way through the pain and the hurt and the struggles and the challenges of life. But when we say yes to you, when we allow you to come and be our King, Lord, you go before us. You push ahead in front of us, and you are our shield. You are our strength, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be people who step out of the life we once lived and begin to live the life that you're calling us to live, Lord, to follow you, to love you, to serve you, Lord, to realize that, Lord, we're all failures. We've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But Lord, you have paved a way for us to experience life, to step out of the old and into the new, Lord. And so help us to grab hold of that. Help us to seek you, Lord Jesus. We know it's still going to be a battle at times, and there's still going to be challenges, Lord. But it is so much easier when we have the hope of knowing that you're on our side and that the victory is ours. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this word. May it penetrate our hearts and challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. May it challenge us to be people who shed the old, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now, if there are people in here that maybe they've got a title that's gone behind their name, so-and-so, the struggler with pornography, so-and-so, the one that gambles, so-and-so, the one that struggles with alcohol, so-and-so, the one that struggles with relationships, so-and-so, the one that just can't get it right. Lord, you came to wash away those titles that we give ourselves, and to allow us to put on a new title, so-and-so, child of the King, a new creation in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. We thank you for your love for us, Lord. May we learn to live and walk out the life that you've called us to live, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.